Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
If they find us, we'll be executed.
Captain. I apologize for the difficult position that we've put you in. But I know these men. Even if they found us, I doubt they'd simply leave. They've captured vessels far less impressive than yours.
They're trying to reinitialize the warp reactor, sir. Seems to me they've already decided to help themselves to Enterprise.
They obviously don't realize we're in the catwalk. If they learn we're here, it would undoubtedly endanger the crew.
What are you suggesting? We just sit on our hands until they fire up the engines?
You're assuming these three are telling the truth. They've already lied to us.
We're not lying. These men are dangerous.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, dun 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 dun.
I don't do that one.
You don't do that one. You don't ever do that one.
You don't do that one.
This guy doesn't do that one.
Taco Bell, fuck you.
Taco Bell's Canyon.
Taco Bell Canyon.
No, I'm just kidding.
Knock, knock. Who's there? It's Taco Bell Canyon. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Taco Bell Canyon. We're getting ready to start.
All right.
This is aggravating Dan because he'd like to start. All right. Hey, Dan. How about I push the button? How about that?
Do what you got to do, man.
You appreciate that? I push the button. We started the
podcast.
Do
you appreciate that?
I don't care.
Dan doesn't like it.
I don't care anymore.
I don't care about nothing.
When I talk in the DJ voice. Hey.
I don't care about nothing.
Hey there, everybody. How's it going?
Hey.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We're in Radio Land.
We're being hailed.
We would like permission to come aboard as soon as possible.
Excellent.
I bet. Bet you would.
How y'all doing, everybody?
Egg salad.
Okay.
You went, okay. you go, okay. Hey, Jesse, he goes, okay.
All righty.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Oh, no. Hey, Jesse, what are you doing?
The problem is this is popular among the audience.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Jesse, what are you doing?
It might not be for much longer.
If you're new audience members, you let us know what you think of this.
Hey, Jesse.
Amongst the traditional Star Trek audience members, this is a fucking hit.
Hey.
It's a laugh riot, apparently.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what?
Hey, Jesse, do you have something that I could drink, maybe? Because I'm kind of thirsty.
You guys are goofy. Okay, so yes, let's get right into
it. That's enough of
that. What do you mean?
It's got Star Trek. That's the podcast. Yes.
We would like permission to come aboard as soon as possible.
Excellent, because I think we did that already.
Egg salad.
That sounds familiar.
So welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We're being hailed.
If I'm counting properly.
Don't count.
Correct me if
surmount.
I'm wrong.
Don't count. Surmount.
I think.
That's my new thing I say.
I think.
Don't count. Surmount.
I think that it's episode 294.
It's on the
get
red.
Out.
294.
Are you crazy?
Of this very podcast. And that doesn't
isn't
count.
Isn't it obvious?
That doesn't count bonus episodes.
Oh, yeah. We're getting close to that 300.
Of which there are many. Yes, we are getting close to 300. We should start talking about
it. It's a lot of fucking podcasts.
Isn't that obvious?
Isn't it obvious?
Only slightly.
Only slightly.
Dan got a lot of sounds out of this episode.
I wasn't a lot of repeat sounds.
I wasn't 100% sure.
Look at all these repeats. I'll play them again just for funsies.
Isn't that obvious?
Isn't it obvious?
Only slightly.
Only slightly.
What about some of the mail?
I did not notice that.
And that's, then this one is weird. This is a similar but not the same.
Is this bothering you?
Am I disturbing you?
It's kind of similar.
Should we be telling the audience which episode we're talking about?
Oh, maybe.
No.
For the rare audience member.
Perhaps.
Who is overhearing this or who has had it come up randomly in their feed.
All hands, this is the captain. All hands, brace for impact.
And they don't know what's going on. Well, what's going on is that we here on the It's Got Star Trek podcast, that's myself, Patrick, and then we got Dan over there on one side and Jesse over on the other.
Over here.
Hi.
We will tonight or whatever time it is when you're listening to this, we will be discussing...
People listen to it in the daytime.
I think a lot of people listen to it in the daytime. But we will be discussing... what is it? Oh, Star Trek Enterprise. Star Trek Enterprise. The episode is The Catwalk.
New planet, new aliens.
The Catwalk.
Banner Day.
Catwalk, which was a misleading title. I thought it was going to be where they go to a model planet,
right,
where there's like all this
I'm
modeling.
Too sexy.
Yeah,
Banner Day. Yeah. Banner Day.
When people are walking around in the streets, they have to like walk one direction, turn around, and walk back.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm not gonna make a big deal about it because it's okay. But
what?
But you talked over my sound again.
Oh, sorry.
No, Jesse did. It's okay. It's okay.
Okay, Jesse should be the one apologizing. I take back my apology.
Sorry.
I know there's gonna be people out there listening and be like, Dan, just fucking let it go.
Can we hear it again?
No, it's fine. It wasn't much.
I want to hear it.
It's okay. I'm being really chill about it. But I know there's people that are being like, Dan, stop fucking worrying about this shit and just let it go. You're becoming annoying and you're pissing me off.
I don't know. Maybe people want to hear those sounds.
I'm sure there's
they
at
don't
least
want to, they don't want
I
to
bet
hear
you there's
me
at
talking.
Least one person out there that's like, geez, Dan, fucking let it go.
And if you are that one person,
the people that would rather hear me talk,
you can write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Subject line, let it go.
Hey, Jesse.
Oh, no. I'm fucking
hey, Jesse.
Hey, what?
It's okay. It's okay, Jesse.
Okay.
Don't worry. I'm sorry.
Welcome to It's Got Star Trek.
I'm sorry.
The discussion is about the catwalk.
New planet, new aliens.
And
day.
We do have one voicemail to get to, but before we get to the voicemail.
I was talking about repeat sounds. I played one earlier. This one.
All hands, this is the captain.
All hands, brace for impact.
There's another repeating.
Well, does that count as a list? Because I was just about to ask you.
I don't know.
Dan.
It's a two-item list.
Dan has a number of features, and one of those features is he puts together lists. They're kind of like a listicle, but more old school.
Okay.
And then sometimes he also has a game called Duty or No Duty.
There's no duty or no duties.
Which is interesting, right? Because there is an
interesting. There's no duty or no duties.
But then,
that's an order.
So, yeah, then
that's an order.
So the duty or no duty is one of Dan's games. The that's an order is one of Dan's bugaboos.
Bugaboos.
And then the other things is a list, which is just,
infinite lists.
That's just something Dan's always been into, collecting things and placing them under sort of a category.
That makes him
grouping
a smart
things
person.
In categories.
That's the mark of a smart person.
Over the course of this, thanks, Jesse.
That's right, dude.
Over the course of this episode, I put together this audio list of repeats. It's
all hands. This is the captain.
Not Pete.
All hands, brace for impact.
Isn't that obvious?
Isn't it obvious?
Only slightly.
Is this bothering you?
Am I disturbing you?
Last one's a stretch, but, you know, you get the idea.
No, it's the same.
Thematically the same.
Yeah.
I presume that's the scene where they were sitting across from each other.
Across, yeah.
Trying to get to sleep
across.
Or read or watch water polo or whatever.
Yeah, you know, do they not have headphones?
I was just going to say, they got no headphones?
Do they not have a turn that sound? Like,
no
earbuds? If DePaul, when you're reading off a pad in the future, does it have to make noise?
It's like the 21st fucking century.
Is it unusual for people to want to, like... Is it unusual for people to want to read in silence in the future? Like, there's no turn off the annoying beepy button, you know
right.
what I'm saying? Did you notice she was sniffing? Because she not only had to smell humans, she smelled Porthos.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Oh, and yeah. Speaking of sounds, there is this weird background sound. It's really hard to hear, but it's like an Atari noise. Here, I'm going to play this. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did hear it.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Man, you listened hard this week.
I listened hard. There is
extra hard.
There is sometimes I have this list like called things. I have a list called stuff, which is like
I'm into stuff.
Which is just kind of like random.
So we
things.
Have well, one list.
It's
to
one
look
of those
for,
not. It's one of those
to.
Not very good lists.
We've had two lists. There's two lists.
Oh.
One was a list of duplicate sounds which we've heard or duplicate quotes. We have
yes.
to look forward to another list of stuff that per tradition for Dan. Mm-hmm. He downplays it and says it's terrible and not
sounds
worth,
fun.
Not worth listening to, but
I didn't expect it to be beautiful.
Still something to look forward to.
Yeah,
no
absolutely.
Duty or no duties this week, but no. We do have that's an order.
You can't
so
do it every week.
Those are things,
no!
things to look forward to.
I have a new feature.
Uh-oh.
Because based on an argument that, well, not an argument, a lively discussion that often occurs between Patrick and I, this one is called Vulcan Lies.
Oh yes, I have it in my notes.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is a rather line. Rather,
oh, you have
blatant
that too.
Line.
Of course I have it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start tracking these.
Okay.
Now, of course, we're like 300 episodes in, so we've missed a lot of good ones.
We'll redo all the previous.
We'll have
episodes.
To re-all-do the ones and find every instance where a Vulcan lies.
I figured we'd have to do that eventually.
So I'm going to open my new list, and I'm going to put this one in my new list of Vulcan lies.
Right on, dude.
Do it right now.
This sounds like a potentially very racist manifesto.
Oh, no.
Yeah, now that I think about it, that's not a great name, is it?
What is it? My list of Vulcan
Maybe
lies.
You should call it, like, have a code word.
Code word. Well, then that, yeah, I mean people can read through those code words.
Yeah, I'm pretty, well. Jesse, do you mean a dog whistle?
No, I do not.
Okay, so while Dan is furiously typing in,
so this is
creating a new document called my Vulcan lies.
This is on Enterprise.
Big ear problems.
Big ear. Oh no.
Yeah. Pointy
season
ear problem.
Season 2, episode 12, yeah. Called The Catwalk.
The Catwalk.
There. List is made. Google Docs already saved it for me.
Good. Well, it auto saves. Isn't that the way?
They were always
the
like that.
Isn't
in the
that
first
the
place?
Way?
Before we get into the email, are we going to the email now?
Well, it's a voicemail.
It's a voicemail, dude.
I was looking through my house. I was. Well, things were being looked
the house.
Through. Things were being looked
house.
Through.
Oh,
maybe by me.
Glory
maybe by
to
some,
you and your house.
Maybe by me. Maybe by someone else. I don't know. But things were being looked through. And,
your current residence.
And well, not necessarily.
Oh,
it was okay. Just things were being looked through.
Folks previous. At home.
And this old,
Dan is retrieving something from his backpack.
And this thing got found
from his rucksack.
And I remember this. I don't remember
nice.
Why I have this.
What is it?
It's the Star Trek. The Next Generation companion.
Ooh.
A complete show by show.
It's got Guinan on the
it's
cover.
It's in cherry condition.
It's a complete.
Quite.
It's a complete show by show guide to the Smash television series. Exclamation
Smash.
Point.
Smash.
Includes over 150 photos. It's by Larry
Nemechek.
Oh, yeah. Larry.
Fuck
we
yeah,
we
Larry
know Larry Nemechek. He's
yeah.
a Twitter friend. Or not Twitter anymore.
Is he?
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah.
Well, he
dude.
Wrote this book that I have. Thanks,
no,
Larry.
No, Larry Nemechek is a famously awesome writer about Star Trek.
Larry,
I might
he's
have
very
to borrow
active
that
on,
from you. Sometime.
Very active yeah. on Blue Sky.
This is, Larry, thank you. I can't remember.
We should just ask him to come on the show. I'm sure he'd come on the show.
Yeah, I can't remember when I got this, but like, it's one of those things you
You got it when it came out, like in the 90s, it looks like.
1992.
You got it. Yeah, I bet you got it
you know,
around then.
Maybe it was a Christmas gift from my mom or something.
Quite probably.
Because like, I would
maybe
watch,
I gave that to you.
Because I would watch TNG with my mom a lot. But like, it's one of those things that if you've ever had something that you forgot that you had and then you mm-hmm. found it, you're like, oh, I had that. I totally yeah. remember it now.
For me, it was courage.
I keep track of all of my things.
Are you like the cowardly lion? Is that what your deal is?
Well, I never got quite that bad.
You're like the
that
sort
guy
of,
sucked.
The sort of shy lion? You're not shy at all.
No, sucked. I am shy, but I fake not being shy. And then I faked it enough. So then like I come off as not shy. But secretly I'm shy. So I get aggravated by people. But then those same people think they're like, oh, Patrick's so nice.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those deals.
I don't know.
But then,
that.
Like, secretly, I am nice.
You fooled them.
You know? Fooled you.
Fooled you.
I fooled you.
Spaceball.
Only slightly.
B-b-b-b-b-ball.
Dark helmet. All right. I'm not sure exactly how we got there, but
no,
I do know that we need to...
We need to wrap it up.
Go to... No, we need to play a voicemail.
All right.
We'll play a voicemail from our old friend, Jesse.
Yeah.
Hello to you wonderful gentlemen at
Hi.
The It's Got Star Trek podcast. It's me, Jesse, from Open Pike Night, and I have been trying to send a voicemail your way for a couple of weeks now, but real life just keeps getting in the way.
That's what happens,
you know,
man.
Does how that can be. But I do, there's some stuff I really, really have to talk to you guys about. You had asked a few weeks back, you know, what folks might suggest for your show going forward after your 300th episode.
Yeah, it's coming up.
That is so many episodes, and I have heard them all.
Wow.
So you had talked about, you know, maybe changing up the naming convention, and I like that idea. I would just say maybe like include in parentheses the episode that you're discussing if you do change your naming convention, because I don't want you to hurt your podcast's discoverability, which is
good point.
A term
Star Trek Discovery
used hey. Pretty frequently in the industry. And I mean, we all know how the industry is, right? We just point being, we want people to be able to search
Google Mup
for the episode of
did
It's Got Star
Google
Trek
Mup?
That they want to hear. So I have an example here. So,
all right,
in episode 291, of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, mm-hmm. in which you covered Is There in Truth No Beauty? Mm-hmm. Early in the episode, Patrick says catty corner to describe your seating arrangement. And then Dan says doggy side, but then clarifies that he doesn't mean murdering dogs, right? He just, it was like catty corner, doggy side.
I remember that.
But then
this guy really does
Jesse
listen.
Came in with this great line. He said that's actually called roof-a-side. And first of all, nobody acknowledged him, and it was hilarious. So Jesse, way to go, man. You are heard. You that's are funny. Seen. We love
Jesse's
you.
Jesse's like, I don't remember that.
But for example, if you were going to name that episode roof-a-side, then in parentheses you would put, is there in truth no beauty?
So name
and that
the
would
episodes.
Give listeners an idea of the kind of shenanigans they could expect from a given episode.
So a name that but sums it up.
Moving past that, after the first break, you mentioned not necessarily wanting to add commercials to your podcast, but that you might be interested in sponsorships. Mm. And I would just like to know, how does one sponsor an episode of It's Got Star Trek? Me and the guys over at Open Pike Night, although I haven't run this past them at all, would love to sponsor an episode of your show.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, failing that, if it's not available, we'd also be interested in beefing with you.
What?
We haven't beefed with anyone in the podcast.
I guess we do need
a
rival.
Beef really ups the game of all shows involved and, you know, maybe drives listenership. I don't know. We've never had a beef. How do you guys feel about beef? Now, closer to the end of your coverage of Is There in Truth No Beauty, Patrick and Dan suggested maybe reaching out to folks and asking if having a million people talk directly to your brain would be, quote, a problem, be fine, or be great. Now, I posit, as a listener of your podcast, that that's what you guys do. And I gotta tell you, it's great.
That's right.
It's great.
Sorry for the delayed voicemail, you guys. I'm just happy to always have It's Got Star Trek to listen to every week. And sometimes I'm so excited to listen that I forget to call. But here I am, calling again.
Wow, dude.
That's going to be it for me this week. I can't wait to hear y'all's coverage of Strange New World Season 3 and everything else that you do there at It's Got Star Trek.
Aww. Thanks, Agamemnon.
I guess, I was like, ooh, which thank
I like
you
how this, he always listen, like, he's really listening, like, he, like, remembers all this stuff about, like, all this stuff that happens on the podcast, and like, you said this, and I said this, and, like, it's,
he did,
it's really great.
He did that thing they do in movies where someone's on the phone, and then they hang up without saying goodbye, because he ended the voicemail, and he didn't say goodbye. You know, in movies when they're like, yes, and they're like, blah, 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 and they're like, well, get him on the, go get him and tell him to get his ass in gear, and then they hang up on
you
the
should,
dude.
You should call him up now on the podcast and say, hey. What's up with
it's cool. I ain't mad at him.
What's the matter, you?
I ain't mad at him because it's Jesse. He's cool. At first, when he was talking about having beef, I was like, oh no. But then I was like, you know, he's right. Like, that's really what moves you forward in the business is having a nice, nice big slab of beef between you. And
remember back in the 90s, all the drive time DJs would have beef with each other.
Yeah.
The local guys, Don and Mike, would get on top of, what was that guy named? Jack Diamond? They were all like ragging on Jack Diamond, and he was all like, can you guys just cut it out?
But then sometimes, depending on your audience, and I would hope like anyone who listens to us wouldn't do this, but sometimes the audience takes it too seriously because Don and Mike had a beef with like Opie and Anthony.
Yes.
And then, and Don's wife died. Yeah. And then like the fans started making like one fan in particular made this like really distasteful drawing of like him. I won't even really talk about it, but it was distasteful referring to his wife dying. And Jim Norton from Opie and Anthony actually had to write an email to his fans just saying like, look, this,
that's not cool.
Beef is basically saying
it's performative.
That
it's like wrestling.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Basically saying it's all bullshit, man. Yeah. It's like we don't really like, sure. I'm sure there's things that they don't like about each other, but like it's never on that level.
They should do that with
the
Star
audience
Trek
runs
shows.
With it.
Concurrently running Star Trek shows should have beef with each other. So instead of having crossovers where they partner up, they should just be fucking like ragging on each other all the time, which sometimes they do. I don't.
So now there's only just one.
I don't have any problem with the idea of a beef. The issue is it's tricky to have a beef with Open Pike Night because that podcast rules. Like really looking forward.
And they
to
really
it.
Like ours.
I think
so
they.
Like,
I think
why
they,
do we?
Why, I'm really looking forward
the,
to the.
What's the beef?
The strange,
they'll
eat
where's each other. The beef? As
strange,
one would say.
Strange New Worlds is coming up, and it's
it's like the most exciting time because they...
I'm afraid they'd stomp us, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if it was on a metric of like who provides the best coverage of Strange New Worlds, they would stomp us. Yeah. What, is there a phrase? Is there a stomp-related phrase? Stomp us raw?
Stomp us raw.
Stomp us raw.
I don't know.
Stomp us raw.
Stomp well, whatever
us,
it is.
Stomp us good. They'd stomp us good.
Forcefully.
Yeah.
Stomp us forcefully.
All right. Well, thanks, Jesse. Sponsorship? I don't know. We figure something out. It would be, I actually, like,
Nike.
When Jesse was saying, you know, like, how could we sponsor you? I really thought it would be so comical just to have, like, a hilariously over, like, sponsored, like, too many, like ad reads, like, doing that, where we do an episode where we just keep doing ad reads for, like, Open Pike Night. I think it'd be hilarious. Yeah. I kind of just did one, except it was actually sincere. We'll talk offline, Jesse. We'll figure something out. Okay, so
make it a priority.
Yes, indeed. So we will return now to our discussion,
our regularly scheduled program,
our discussion
perhaps.
I've always wanted to say that.
The catwalk, except that it's not about models. It's about the NX-01 meeting a trio of goofy aliens,
right?
And they're all
stellar,
like,
cartographers.
They're all like, "Thank God you caught us in time. Can you all go to warp 7?"
Yeah.
No. And then Archer, I just love that the teaser is Archer looking all like sheepish, being like, "We can only do warp 5.
Our top speed is warp 5. We're stellar cartographers."
Yeah, look at his face, was just fucking hilarious.
And it's like all this time, you know, they've been trying to get warp 5 from the Vulcans, and the Vulcans, I guess, finally give it to them.
No,
and
they figured it out on their own.
They figured it out on their own.
And
okay,
in fact, they're
get out to
their
Uranus,
warp 5 is like kind of cooler.
And I bet the Vulcans probably have warp 7, right? And they just won't give them warp 7 now.
I forget if it's explicit yet, but I do believe they're like
the point is they finally get warp 5, and now it's too late. That everyone's still ahead of them. This is a bummer.
Yeah. Well,
that had to have been a joke in the writing or something.
It might be. I mean, it was funny because it was funny to look at Archer's face when he was like, "Oh, jeepers. Ah, crap. What situation have we gotten ourselves in this week?"
Oh, man.
Little does he know.
But those guys, and they're all like, "We're stellar cartographers."
These guys are driving me crazy.
It's like, come on. Like, who is a stellar cartographer? That's always like a bullshit like job.
We're stellar cartographers.
It's like, yeah, sure we are. We're stellar cartographers. Yeah, that's, yeah.
I wonder if any cartographers listening are going to be like, does that include a regular cartographer?
No, just in Star Trek.
Nonsense.
Those guys like had the look of like, they had the main guy, Tegrim or whatever. He had like the look of like a deserter, right? He had like long hair, you know, like some kind of
like weird wounds.
Was that the guy
on
with the ponytail?
Yeah. The ponytail, the main guy with the ponytail. And did you notice when they were talking about why they left? Archer like summed it up. He was like, "Oh, you're deserters, aren't you?" He almost looked a little disgusted when he said that.
Yeah, no, that's It was like it was. It seemed like it didn't matter what their actual story was. The fact that they deserted, he was like, wasn't so trusting of him.
Yeah, and at the end when he was just like, "Good luck," I was thinking in my head, I was like, if I was Archer, I'd be so pissed off. But then on the other hand, it's like, what can you do at that point? The only thing you can do at that point is either throw him in the brig or just be like, "Good luck."
Well,
you know?
And so, they
like,
did,
what is he going to yell and scream at him, you know?
They did help them because this episode starts off with them explaining that this storm come in that you apparently haven't noticed yet. Well, he's going to fuck everybody up if you don't do something about it.
So they were talking about how the Enterprise is like the sturdiest ship in the fleet, right? But like they don't protect,
like, the only ship in the fleet.
They don't protect against neutronic waves, apparently. And neutronic waves, there is a historical record of neutronic waves because T'Pol's Vulcan lie coming up. Yeah. T'Pol was talking about how way back, was like 100 years ago
100,
or something?
Yes.
They were talking about how they came upon a neutronic wave, and according to T'Pol, they just got a little messed up.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, Vulcan lie. Yes.
Well,
they
barely made it out, is what she said.
Yeah, yeah.
She actually messed up. She actually lies twice.
It turns out it got destroyed. So that was a lie. What was the other lie?
Well,
I got to record this.
No. Well, that's what I'm saying is that there's the two lies are she Dirty. Lies saying it didn't get fucked up, and then she lies saying she must have remembered.
Oh,
wrong.
Right. Yeah.
She doesn't admit she lied the first time. She says like, "I must have remembered wrong," and it's like, bullshit, T'Pol. You didn't remember
wrong. I must
have
remembered incorrectly.
We know that is not true. So there's two lies in here.
Do you know?
Did you add it to your list?
I
add it to your list.
I was
the audience can wait.
Well, I was going to add it, and then you said no.
No, but, no, no.
Yeah, you do that a lot. You say no when you mean yes sometimes.
Yes, so you should be used to it.
I'm not used to it.
Understand my vernacular.
You need to get with the program.
I think we've known each other a tremendous amount of time.
No,
this is almost 300 episodes.
Because I guess I'm crazy or something, but when someone says no, I assume they mean in the negatory. I must be crazy.
That's crazy.
But yeah. So.
Again, we're not on YouTube, so the audience can't see your
wobble, 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 wobble.
Your maniacal face, or the way you're waving your
maniacal
hands around.
Maniacal jazz hands.
Yeah. Bobble, lobble, lobble. Then she lied and said she must have been mistaken. Google Docs.
Okay.
But what I was saying was going to where that was leading
there
to.
There are other cloud-based word document creation software. Services.
Yes, I'm available. Using Google Docs.
I'm just for when we get re-aired on the BBC, I just want to make sure that people understand.
Oh, you're doing some kind of...
Dan is using Google Docs, okay. But we're just stating...
You're just doing...
For UK legal reasons.
Right, yeah. You
have a lot
ahead.
Of fans in the UK.
We're sort of more Channel 4, I think.
Yeah, but still, you just want to make it clear that there are other services available to type words into the cloud that have autosave.
Yeah. So why don't you try to cover all the legal... issues that could come up in every country of the whole world.
That's I did. It's only,
there's a thing
only
in programming.
The
there's a thing.
Nobody
in,
else cares.
There's a thing in programming where they say pre-optimization can be a bad thing, meaning like don't try to account for every fucking scenario because you're just going to have a bulky mess.
Yeah,
basically,
I agree with that.
So you gotta figure out when that to pre-optimize. Yeah. I guess
I did.
It's
it
all
was
about
it was
troubles.
It was so then. I did figure it out, Dan, and it was right then.
Okay. Well, I disagree.
I was like, what are you going to say to that?
Okay.
That can't be right.
Indeed.
Probably just a glitch.
The point I was getting to was that the Enterprise, the sturdy old Enterprise, it was so sturdy and great, but apparently it's not that sturdy because they can't survive a neutronic wave.
Apparently it's a rare enough phenomenon that you don't have to protect against to get you a programming analogy, you don't need to protect against something that's unlikely.
But when you're going out in space, like how hard is it to it's not apparently that hard to protect against them because they were able to shield up they could shield up the catwalk and do it, so why not just put that shielding everywhere?
It's efficiency. You don't need to put stuff where you don't regularly need it.
I think
that's just standard engineering practice.
I think maybe if they had some ablative shielding, they could I bet you Enterprise where they found that magical shielding that was a liquid that they were turning into gas, or is that Voyager?
You know,
sounds more Voyager.
I can't recall what you're talking about.
There was an episode where they went down to a planet and they did some shady dealings and they got this material and they had to it was Enterprise because it blew up Trip Tucker and T'Pol were trying to put together through chemistry this because they got a formula from that guy. It was the one where that
we saw that.
Yeah, it was
one.
The one where they on that planet and the guy had that girl and the girl. The guy had that woman, and the woman was apparently like worked for the dude, and like there was that weird slow motion shot where she was running away, and then she like was like hitting on she was like hitting on everybody in the ship and making everyone fall in love with her, and they went down to the planet to get the recipe book so they could make the shielding that you can only get in like gas form, but the recipe made it liquid, and then it turned
hard.
Was
this Rajin?
Yes, Rajin, that one. Yeah. Yes. So they could have gotten that shield. Why did they get that shield then?
Because that was season 3.
Yeah,
okay,
this was season two.
Well, I'm just saying they should have gotten it. Maybe if they had that shielding, it would have helped them.
It was frustrating time.
I just think, and you know what? Like, the what are they called? The Tok'rat, they're resistant to that stuff, but their ships aren't. So a lot of fat good, that's going to do you being resistant to something if your ship's not.
I know, right?
A lot of fat good. I've been watching this show. It's Pee-wee as himself. It's like a documentary of the like Pee-wee Herman. Like Paul Rubens recorded like 40 hours of like just him like near the end of his life.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was of him just like talking about his life. And so like now I've got Pee-wee on the brain. So
I know because he still sort of spoke in a funny way.
Even
when he wasn't Pee-wee, he was like Paul Rubens was just an unusual guy.
He was kind of he was a little hint of snarkiness when he was.
Yeah.
Only slightly.
Only slightly.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyways, what we're talking about?
It's about time for one of those.
Well, it is about. It, oh, Jesse's, no. Jesse's not wrong. It's about time for a break.
Oh, no.
But.
Not yet.
I want to open some snacks.
Oh, okay. So we're going to take a break so that Jesse can have some snacks.
You're going to have some of your clacky snacks?
My crinkly snacks that need to not be recorded crinkly.
And then
no!
Dan's going to do some sound reviewing. Sound clip reviewing.
30 seconds. 20 seconds. 15. Oh. 10. 15.
That reminds me.
30 seconds. 10.
I was gonna ask
20
you, Dan,
seconds.
Did you
15.
Did you time all this stuff
seconds.
Out? Did you time 10. Out all the times? Because you have a tendency to time out all the time.
I actually totally forgot that time. I know. I fucked up. Maybe I should go back and get back to you next week and report back.
Well,
I forgot to time it.
I think you just do like a little separate podcast. You can record it on your Bodkin recorder.
Bodkin.
Whatever that one was called.
You have a Bodkin recorder. Bodkin. I have a normal one.
No, I don't have a Bodkin recorder. You have the one that was from that show.
No,
Bodkin.
They have a bigger one. Mine is a small one. Mine is the...
And we'll be right back.
No!
Are we actually going to break?
Yes, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Perhaps we can sing a few songs later.
And we're back.
Oh, we are back.
How you holding up?
Holding up Wells.
Yeah.
You're behind schedule.
Are we?
You ever been through a storm as bad as this?
I think we're right on time, baby.
You ever been through a storm as bad as this?
I think we're right on time, baby.
Storm didn't.
You ever been through a storm as bad as this?
I think we're right on time,
storm,
baby.
Storm didn't seem all that bad.
You think it's stuffy now? Wait till we get 83 people in here.
I think there are a few...
there's not so many people on that ship.
There are a few issues with this episode. And one of those issues, and most of these are minor issues, but one of the minor issues is that they did not, in my view, subjective though it may be, they did not make the storm sufficiently scary and threatening.
Mm.
It seemed kind of...
It really wasn't that bad.
I think the storm didn't seem so scary and threatening.
They could still sort of navigate through it somehow.
The catwalk did not seem as claustrophobic as... Like, people seemed fine.
Well, I mean,
like,
yeah.
Everyone seemed like they were all right.
It just got kind of smelly.
I mean, Phlox was all stressing out about only having 15 cubic meters or whatever he had. But like, what I'm saying is, like, at first, T'Pol was all hesitant to give it to him. But, like, what did they really have to sacrifice to give him those extra five...
Exactly.
Square...
Maybe she was just fucking with him.
I think she was just fucking with him.
Yeah, it's just a matter of control.
Maybe T'Pol just sort of has this side thing where she gets off on people having to select some of their pets for death.
They'll eat each other.
Well, apparently, like, because he was all like, because he was all like asking, he's like, don't make me choose between them or whatever. And then he said, he goes,
please don't ask me to choose between them.
Right. And then
it sounded so sad, by the way.
I know, he was really stressed. And then when she's like, okay, you can have more. And then he goes,
my Adosian slugs, thank you.
So that means he already did choose. He chose his Adosian slugs to die. Because,
oh, you know what? Good call.
Yeah,
I had not made that connection. Because
why them specifically, you know? So we know who he needs the least. And it was funny. Well, it wasn't funny. It was actually kind of, it was touching. Because he was all talking about, like, it's important for my research and the health of the crew,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
The health of the crew.
But really, it was about he's, like, attached to these pets. That's what
those
it was.
Are his pets.
Even though he feeds some of them to the other ones.
Yeah, but you know.
You got to do that. Sometimes.
You got to do it. That's just nature. Yeah. But he the way, because he seemed emotional, because he even said, like, was talking about, like, emotion, like,
I'm not accustomed to making emotional appeals.
You know, so, like, you know, that's kind of like he was going to be sad. You
well,
know?
He was making an emotional appeal to T'Pol.
Yes, because he was going to be
hilarious.
Yes,
because T'Pol's a Vulcan.
That is funny. But they're good buds.
They are good buds.
You know that
they're alien buds.
You know that's the only.
They're like these horrible racist humans exclude both of us, so we have no choice but to be friends.
Like Archer was mistakenly trying to get her to be all chummy with the rest of the crew. It's like he should know by now that Vulcans don't do that. Except T'Pol does that. If she does get chummy with anyone, it's Phlox.
Yeah, but I agreed with Archer from a management perspective.
Oh, no, I mean, I agree with him philosophically, but, like, you can't expect a Vulcan to be all like, hey, buddy, how's the game?
I think you can put the challenge to them.
Now, I will say, though, that it turns out to Paul likes movies. So yeah. I guess in that sense, it did. That did. You know,
and
that
because
was
she's good at logic, the joke is that she knows what's happening in the movie.
Yeah, when no one else did. Did it piss you guys off that when they docked, they just all stopped watching the movie? They didn't finish the movie? Yeah. I would have finished the movie.
It did kind of piss me off.
Yeah, I mean, I know they wanted to get out and everything, but like, come on, 8 days? What's a few more minutes?
They should have just had the guy sitting in front being like, cool, like, yeah, about 15 minutes left, and then we'll go.
Yeah. I know, but they didn't. But I guess that's an understated part of the story. Now I'm just realizing is that Archer was trying to get to Paul to fraternize more. And she was like, fuck that. But then in the end, she kind of in her own way did with the movie thing. That was kind of, I don't even know if they meant to do it that way or if I'm just like super awesome.
No.
I think you're super awesome. And maybe they even meant to
both things can be true. But they definitely meant it in that fashion, right? Mm-hmm. To Paul, she needed to stretch herself a little. Everyone's supposed to learn from each other on Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah,
that's the deal.
I've been real friendly.
So shady,
making too much noise.
Shady aliens. This
making
is,
too much noise.
This is a story where it starts out where it's like, oh no, there's a storm, and we're gonna have like a storm story. Okay. And then they add on, they're like, okay, now there's some shady aliens. So there's like a storm story and a shady alien story. And then it's like additional shady aliens that are related to the original shady aliens, but they're connected to them. It's all a fun story. It doesn't really go into depth into anything.
No, it does. It's weird.
We never see these guys again. Right?
So
I don't think.
Yeah,
so.
It's basically it's the first part is a close quarters comedy, and the second part is like a defense adventure, basically. And it switches from comedy to adventure around 25 minutes in. So it's actually more of the intro leading up. So I don't know which part of the story was supposed to be more important, or if they're just supposed to live on their own, because it was. It's not that it didn't work, because the stories did lead from one to the next. Yeah. It's just they're so different. The tone was really different in a way.
You know? It's also kind of another example of one of those stories where they maybe couldn't pick what they wanted to focus on.
Right.
Or weren't confident that they could successfully craft a story that focused on one element or another, because the idea of the crew being trapped in a confined space and then using that alone as the plot with no added mystery or anything, purely the threat of like, okay, we have to deal with each other for 8 days.
And T'Pol's all like, you expect us to live in this novel? It's like, well, what's the fucking alternative?
Well, but that's the thing is there's so many interesting stories and they didn't tell any of those stories. They hinted at a couple throughout this episode, but you could have had a whole episode where there's no antagonist other than each other and the confined space, and then they end up learning more about each other and learning more about themselves. A classic Star Trek story.
Well, that might have been a good idea.
T'Pol did some sort of like Spock thing, right? Is that like?
Oh,
TAS?
The Kazwang ritual. You go live
out. Is that what Spock did in TAS?
It's a Kazwang ritual.
Kazwang, well, yeah, because he did, I forget it was, if it was
like,
the same
like
one.
Young,
or,
when young Spock, like yeah. when yeah, other was, Spock like visits
young might have been her version of camping.
Yeah, that's yeah, when Achaia.
Like, Achaia, yeah.
Achaia, yeah.
Well, that's what they do in like, don't they do that in like Boy Scouts or whatever? They drop you in the middle of the woods and like, give you a knife
and
some matches.
That's like the fucking Rangers. Or
they
something.
Didn't do that in my Boy Scouts.
Maybe when you're Eagle Scout, you can.
I think that's the Army.
I think
Eagle Scout, like they like, you know, built a sign for the local church.
No, I swear. I think the Eagle. In order to get an Eagle Scout, they'd like drop you in the woods with a knife and some matches or something. No, that's true.
That's the Rangers.
I was in Boy Scouts.
Were you an Eagle Scout?
That's the Army Rangers.
No, but I saw people achieve the level of Eagle Scout. I got too bored.
I'm going to ask ChatGPT to sort of
rely
on AI.
You're thinking of that one 1980s movie.
Well, what was that one with Kevin Bacon and Samwise Gamgee where they were riding in the water through the mountains, rapids?
A river runs through.
No,
it?
That's
the river.
Brad Pitt.
Was it the River Wild?
No, I don't think so.
Was it? I don't know what you're talking. What the fuck are you talking about? We're a Star Trek podcast, and occasionally a pickle podcast.
I know, right?
And that one time we were an elf podcast.
I wasn't asking anything. You were the one saying things.
Oh, but by the way, getting back to Jesse's other Jesse, call-in Jesse, just open Pike Night Jesse's previous comments about sponsorship. We could work for pickles.
Pickled okra.
He sent us some strange pickles, some different pickled items.
Strange new pickles.
And then give us some ad copy to read, and we'll advertise your...
We'll read it, motherfucker.
Your business, or your podcast, or whatever you like.
Your venture.
Send us some strange pickled items.
Strange new pickles.
Ideally edible, because I guess that could be misinterpreted.
Yes. No formaldehyde.
Yes, exactly. All right. Dan is not finding the answer he wanted to find, so he's gone silent.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
He's unable to find confirmation to his theory that Eagle Scouts have to be dropped in the woods.
I never said I was looking that up.
Oh my goodness. I thought you were.
You were totally looking it up. Okay.
A different podcast.
So let's get back to our alien discussion. We were discussing.
That might have been a good idea.
We were discussing the shady aliens and this whole storyline. So, yes, one storyline is the confinedness. They could have done that by itself. Another is the classic ship being taken over. Uh-huh. It works well in this context.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked it.
I knew from the moment. So at first, when I saw those militia dudes walking by, right then and there, I was like, okay, those guys are some official dudes, and they're looking for these guys.
They're looking for these,
and these guys are running from them.
They got uniforms.
And at first,
Three Stooges.
And at first, in my head, the story that I had constructed, and I don't know if this is silly of me, but this is what I constructed in my head. Uh-huh. I was like, okay, what happened is the reason that the Enterprise didn't detect the wave, but these three dudes could, is because they're the ones that set it off. So they set it off.
Oh, shit.
They set it off, and then that's how they were able to tell them about it. And what they were using them as a getaway, but like what they were doing is they were trying to set this off to fuck some shit up, and then they were telling the Enterprise about it, and they're going to stow away and fly away. And I thought that the official dudes were just some normal, like, hey, you're trying to fuck our world up. We're going to get us. But it turns out that they were the official dudes were the bad guys.
Of course.
Yeah. So that's what I thought was happening. I mean, I don't know.
That's a believable scenario.
Yeah. It just seems like, yeah, I mean,
at first glance.
It seems in retrospect, it seems like it would be difficult to set off a big wave like that, but you never know in Star Trek. Some shit can go down.
You can do anything you want.
Yeah.
It's fiction.
Yeah.
It's science fiction.
Totally
fiction. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You have even more latitude in science fiction to do whatever the fuck you want.
Science.
Well, that's also why.
Yeah, but you have to play within rules, though. You still have to play within rules.
Yeah, but come on. You can stretch those rules. Neutrino storm. Come on.
I don't recognize your authority.
The thing is this is one of those episodes that's it's entertaining. It's pretty fun. It's well performed.
Yeah.
But it's also just sort of lacking some meat on the bones. There's no like moral questions here or anything. Like even Phlox's very brief, I have to pick from my plants. No, I guess I don't.
Yeah. They still fit everybody kind of fits in there.
Although, what were they eating? At first I thought that those...
Just like, you mean the aliens? Rations.
Yeah, the Tacrit. At first I thought...
MREs.
No, not those. The Tacrit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because at first I thought it was like some delicious like...
Chicken feet or
meat,
something.
Meat bone or something.
It looked like chicken feet.
It looked like
a side of beef.
It looked like meat bone to me.
Meat bone, I don't know what that means.
Side of bone.
I do not know what meat bone means.
You know.
It's got meat on a bone.
Isn't it obvious?
Hey, it's got meat. That's a good idea for a podcast. Let's do a podcast.
It's got meat.
And then it could be like, it's got not meat.
It's got sauce.
Maybe later.
It's not got meat, and we can do an all vegan
It's
show.
Got, yeah, right.
I mean,
make it a priority.
The pickle show was probably technically a vegan, wasn't it? When we did It's Got Pickles. We did It's Got Pickles.
No,
that was in 2022.
No,
2022 is when we did It's Got Pickles. Is that long ago?
There was pork fat in the sorbet we ate.
Really?
No.
Why would you say something like that?
They'll eat each other.
It's not going to stop me from eating it.
What a crazy fucked up thing to say. you're totally like trying,
because you're the
us.
One that bought it.
You'd be surprised.
Didn't you buy the sorbet?
Yeah, he brought
I'm totally
yes.
Dan brought this.
Yes,
pinning it on you.
So years ago,
isn't that obvious?
In January of 2022,
isn't it obvious?
We did our first episode of It's Not Star Trek called It's Got Pickles, in which we
sampled a grand episode,
a variety of pickles. Great episode,
mostly cucumbers, but also carrots and okra.
Go we back didn't have carrots.
We had carrots.
Oh. Anyways,
pickled carrots.
Well, anyway, go listen to the episode because it's a really good episode.
I didn't expect it to be beautiful.
We didn't have carrots. Do we have corn?
No, we didn't have corn. We didn't have carrots.
Did we have okra? We had okra.
I think there was a pickled okra.
I think I bought some pickled onions, and then I realized they were just like cocktail onions, and I think we decided not to eat them.
That's right. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But we would. I really ought to be the one doing this, Captain.
I thought there was something else.
Pickled stuff.
We had pickled pickles. We had pickled cucumbers, then we had pickled pickles. Yeah. And then we had de-pickled cucumbers.
What? De-pickled? Oh, yeah, but you got the sorbet because you had read that it was...
Cleanse the palate.
It was
I
went to a restaurant once that had, between meals, they gave you a little tiny bit of sorbet to clear the palate.
Yeah, you got a big old tub
of it. Yeah, I got a tub of it. So I had instead of a little tiny scoop, I just had a big bowl. And by the end of it, it had pickle juice in it. It was all mixed together.
Man. I don't think at the time you explained that we were supposed to be taking tiny scoops.
We were
talking because we just had regular old...
Yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't say it was tiny. I just said, you got to eat sorbet. Yeah. But
well, it worked out in the end.
It worked out in the end. But so, right. So it was like some meat bone that they were eating.
Okay. Still don't know what that is.
But then after they looked at it, it was gross. For some reason, then I started thinking it was gross. I was like, yeah, that does look gross. At first, I was like, that looks all right. But then they were gross. And then I started thinking, maybe it's just chopped up entrails and just cat food looking meaty bones.
The power of suggestion and the power of tribalism, where you have subconsciously attached yourself to the tribe of the NX-01 crew.
Patrick's accusing me of groupthink.
Outsiders enter the crew. No, this is human nature. I hate the term human nature.
That's really condescending to say that to somebody. It's just human nature that you would do that. I mean, I wouldn't do that.
You don't have any control over yourself.
See, I wouldn't do that because I'm aware of it, but you not being aware of it, it's human nature.
Being aware of it sadly does not make you immune from the foibles of the human mind.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
Foibles. It's a time for foibles. Foibles. Yes, it is.
Your song about foibles was itself an illustration of one of your foibles.
Yes.
So what do we got? Some lists or something?
No. I did
have a list. What I was going to say is we've already.
Oh, yes, that's right.
We've already covered three of the items in the list.
How many total items are
six,
on the list?
Five.
So there's only two more items left.
Yeah.
How about this? Do you want to play a game? The game should be Dan reads us the two items that we haven't covered, and then Jesse and I have to suss out if we can guess what the list category is and if we can guess what the three other things are.
Oh, I'm not certain.
Would that be fun, Dan?
I don't know if he knows what the right answer is.
Good luck.
All right. Give us list item number one that we have not yet discussed.
You're gonna guess the category? I don't understand this.
We're gonna guess what the other list items were because you said we've already.
Look,
this is perfectly clear.
I strongly suggest we abort the mission.
No. We shan't, sir, because
I say we shan't. Good day, sir.
In my mind,
you almost made me snore.
In my mind, this is exceptionally clear. You have crafted a list.
Yes.
The list is by definition, it is a list because you've grouped these things together for some reason or another. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Good. All right. Now, we all agree on that point. Now, you've also said that in the course of our conversation thus far this evening, we have already covered three of the things on your five-thing list.
No.
I mean, yes.
You're gonna play, we'll play yes.
Human events.
Yes.
All right. There we go.
No.
So.
Yes.
What I'm suggesting is instead of you telling us what those three things were,
you have to guess what's on the list.
Instead, based off of what the two remaining items are, can Jesse and I figure out what the other three items were that we already discussed?
That's a weird game.
My answer is no, I can't.
I your guess is as good as mine.
This is perfectly clear to me.
I cannot guess. No.
These men are dangerous.
All right. How about this?
We're dangerous.
Oh, yeah. We didn't play that. I totally thought of the word dangerous from Enterprise.
We're dangerous.
Yes, there we go. That was from Detained, the episode Detained.
I'm not joking, Lee.
All right. Give us one of those list items.
Osmium alloy protects them. Absorption depth of alloy is at least 20,000 particles per micron. That was one of the items.
All right. This is delightfully out of context.
I'll give number three.
Okay. Well, this is the second one. This is the second one that we haven't discussed
yet.
Okay.
But it's three on the list.
All right.
That other one was one.
Got it.
They're over 100 light years from Earth, but also 20 light years away from the aliens' homeworld. I assume they picked them up from their homeworld, and they've been traveling, what, 3 or 4 days? So by that logic, they're only 20 days away from Earth. You want me to repeat that?
No, I think I understood that.
Okay.
This is irrelevant.
No. Now you've given us the clues.
Well, now
we have to noodle backwards.
Good luck.
All right. So one of them was about distance. What was the other one about?
Osmium alloy protects them. Yeah. And the absorption depth of the alloy is at least 20,000 particles per micron.
They're both about some sort of made up nonsense.
Well, they're both about quantities and
please.
About. Whether or not
don't ask me to choose between them.
About whether the quantities make any sense.
Yeah.
You're right. Never going to get it.
I know. It's really hard.
Is it related to the number 20?
He came up with all these like stipulations for this fucking game. And it's like, I'm never going to get it.
20 seconds.
All you had to do is read the rules.
There's a lot of instances of the number 20 because you've just listed there's 20,000 and then 20 days to Earth. And then 20 light years, and then
it's only 20 days.
The clip you just played says 20. There's a list. There's
a
list.
Open a window.
It's a list of all the times they say 20. Is that the list? Did I get it right?
No,
I made up a list. You didn't even catch this list.
I got what you were saying.
Catch these.
Some kind of osmium alloy, if I remember.
Yeah. All right.
They're vital to my work and the health of this crew. They're vital to my work and the health of this crew.
Is that a clue?
They're vital to my work and the health of this crew. They're vital to my work and the health of this crew.
The reason you're never going to get this list is because it was just called stuff.
So it's just disconnected stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, dude.
It started as okay.
I guess I should have guessed that. That would have been a plausible guess.
Okay, I guess.
You're just tricking us.
No. There is a theme.
Stringing us along.
It has nothing to do with the numbers, though. It has nothing to do with the numbers. But there is a theme, but I don't think
there's
you get
it. There's a theme, but we'll never get it.
It's a theme that I actually. It's protection? It's kind of a list that I kind of sometimes do every once in a while. You give up? You want me to tell you what the list is?
Yes.
Do you give up, Jesse?
Yes.
All right.
It's really.
I gave up before we even started.
That's true. You made a point to state that.
I was not going to get it.
Yeah.
Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it.
Not this time.
That should be the worst of it, sir. At least for now.
Is this one of the stuffs?
No.
That was just being just playful.
That was playful. Yeah, I'm saying the worst of this game is over. Yeah. No, it's what I sometimes do where it's just basic lore from the show.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, osmium alloy. Like, what do you get when you look up osmium alloy?
Nothing.
You get... It's primarily used to increase the hardness and wear resistance of other metals. So that's like not lore. That's just a thing. I didn't know what osmium was. Call me stupid.
Well, yeah, but is that real, is that real life or is that like on Memory Alpha?
No, it was...
Chakotay?
It's actually in...
Chocolatine.
Is that a Google AI?
Yeah, AI told me there's an osmium entry in Wikipedia and then there's...
Wait a minute.
And then AI. There's an osmium... And there's a subject of osmium in the metallurgy subreddit. So it's a real thing.
Fuck.
I learned something. I just assumed it was some Star Trek thing. Now, absorption depth of the alloy...
Schnozmium?
Now, about the absorption depth of the alloy being at least 20,000 particles per micron, I'm betting that's kind of a Star Wars.
Do you think that's a... Do you think that's a subliminal...
Did I say Star Wars earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What did you mean to say?
I meant to say Star Trek.
Star Trek. It's got Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Dude, you know this
is... You knew we were in trouble.
This is a Star Trek podcast.
I know. I said the wrong thing.
Do you think selecting the number 20,000 microns was a joke about... Or what? Was it 20,000 microns? What did it say?
You are right. I did say 20,000. I did use the number 20 in both of those. That just happened to be by chance that I used 20 in both of those.
Yeah, but it's also 20 light years and 20...
Yeah. And 20
years to
and then
get
I
back,
guess...
I mean, 20 days to get back to...
Well, the 20 days is what I guessed through my own personal math.
Yeah, but you did a calculation.
I did a calculation. That was based...
Why shouldn't
advanced,
we trust the calculation?
Dude.
Well, the calculation was based upon some assumptions, like they've been there for 3-4 days. Who knows if they've been there for 3-4 days, but
I don't know, dude.
So here's one of them that you didn't get. Kazwan ritual. That's all that was.
We did discuss that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying these are the ones we did discuss. These are lore. And then another
lore, yes.
Another piece of lore.
What we learn about this world.
That I wrote the Tokrit militia. Does that make these aliens Tokrit? More lore. Number 5.
By the way, I think it does.
Agreed. Number 5. What do you think, Jesse?
Basically, I don't have much to go on, but that makes the most sense.
I'm not certain.
I can see why you would suggest maybe it wouldn't. And we do need to allow for the possibility that this is a name of a regional or,
they could be another world
or local authority
taken
versus
over by the Tokrit.
What they call themselves on this planet. That's plausible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a fair assumption As long as you're not betting your life on it.
I wouldn't do that.
As long as you're not in some sort of contest of logic or argumentation, and you're not using this as an example. As long as you're not doing that, I think it's okay to go ahead and assume that the Takrit refers to what these people planet-wide call themselves.
You'd be surprised.
The fifth one is, T'Pol likes movies. She looked so stoked when Trip Tucker III invited her to movie night.
Yeah.
What were they going to watch? Stoked.
She did. She was weighing. That's pretty. T'Pol was.
What were they going to watch?
The Day the Earth Stood Still. Was that?
I don't know what movie they. I don't know what they were watching.
Because they were all like, again?
The Western at the end, I'm not familiar with that particular.
Oh, Western. Speaking of things we've seen before, when the captain dude was like looking at the logs. By the way, T'Pol's face looked like a mugshot out of like a fucking.
She looked like she was.
She looked like some. She, like she was part of the Maquis or something, you know?
It looked like the kind of shot they would use.
Get
on
shot!
The, on the Star Trek, that's a Pulp Fiction reference.
Yes, it is.
On the Star Trek, the trading card game.
Yeah.
We have sometimes.
You mean
like
Star
that.
Trek TNG, the trading card
game?
Yeah,
but you know, this would be like the Enterprise version.
Does it have to be?
Well, I mean, it's T'Pol.
Doesn't have to be.
Let me know if you change your mind.
Okay, I will.
So
but I generally do not.
But the
general, the captain, the bad guy captain, the antagonist captain.
Yes. The captain.
Alien captain.
Yes, the Takrit captain, some might say. He was listening to Archer's log. Do you think that was a log from an episode?
I don't think so.
No, it didn't look like...
I guess it's easy enough to find out. I could just do a string search.
Because it looked like they
it.
Were just sort of going through the ship's computer.
So
like,
you think they...
It sounded like it was a purposefully boring log.
It sounded really boring.
Yeah,
I think the
idea
was...
It sounded super boring.
Because he was provided... In the log, he was saying he just was answering some questions that T'Pol had.
Yeah.
It's not like we went on mission or adventure.
No, here's what it is. Captain Starlog, February 9th, 2152. The Vulcans have allowed the Maserites to leave. Ambassador Valar says there's a dot dot dot. Yeah, this is really boring. It sounds like the beginning of something really fucking boring.
Yeah.
So let's look up Maserites.
It's like some official nonsense.
Maserites Star Trek. And what memory Alpha tells.
I thought that was going to be a song or a chant. Maserites Star Trek.
So,
according
to Memory Alpha, so Maserite actually was in the Enterprise episode Fallen Hero.
Oh, comes later. That's a season 4.
An Enterprise
It's a little earlier than that.
There's an Enterprise episode Affliction.
Yes, yes.
And that's all I can see so far. Fallen Hero and Affliction.
Well, thank you for providing that information. It was helpful.
Well, now I have to look up Valar.
I mean,
you don't have to.
Star Trek. I have to read it out loud as I'm saying it so there's no dead air. Valar is a prominent Vulcan diplomat.
Fuck yeah. Surprisingly, it's a planet with nothing on it.
Who is from? She was in Fallen Hero.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to look up the script to Fallen Hero.
Fallen Hero is a good episode of Enterprise. It involves a disgraced Vulcan. Which is always fun.
I mean, you guys don't have to listen to me. You can do your thing, but I want to know if this is from...
Yeah, we're just going to sit over here and do our thing.
Yeah, Jesse, what the fuck is our thing? Do you remember when Dan said we could do our own thing and then he just started
he did his own thing.
He's just doing his own thing over there. He's raised his hands in some sort of triumphant fashion. Dan, are you bringing us into break? Because it's winding down.
It's time for
break, time,
baby.
And you look so fucking excited. I have so much other stuff on my list we got to talk about.
Okay.
I know.
Captain Starlog, February 9th, 2152. The Vulcans have allowed the Maserites to leave. Ambassador Valar, dot, 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 says there's a good reason for doing so, though she's certainly not sharing it with me. Fallen Hero, Star Trek Enterprise, it was from that episode.
Well, I'm glad
I fucking found it.
Yeah,
I'm glad
baby.
We found it. Dan.
I read the rest of it.
You read the rest of
because
this guy's
here it ended. Here it ended up. Ambassador Valar says there's a dot 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 and good reason for doing so, though she's certainly not sharing it with me.
Yes. And
you
good
have
job.
Earned stars.
I fucking won. You motherfucker.
You typed in the
points.
Quote.
Points for you.
So point.
You
found win.
It, you found the quote. That's
not
great.
Puntos negros.
It pawn.
Okay, so that brings us to our break time. We got to take a little break and have some
breaky poo.
Have some snack packs, have a little sip of milk. And then when we get back,
I'm gonna I like the milk.
I'm gonna have a little 100-calorie bag of peanut butter pretzels because I'm on a diet.
Peanut butter pretzels.
Because I'm on a diet.
You just have like 3 pretzels. Yeah,
the peanut butter gives you the protein.
I thought he was gonna say peanut butter gives you the toots.
No, not at all. But when we get back, we will conclude our discussion of Star Trek Enterprise's.
We'll try to wrap it up.
The catwalk. Be right back.
Too bad we don't have time to run some scans.
Okay, we're back.
Go ahead.
Keep working. I'm in command of this bridge.
So, calling this thing the catwalk.
On the catwalk.
Well, exactly. They really missed an opportunity to do like a space fashion show.
Yeah.
Because they're like up there and they're bored.
I know.
Like, what are we going to do?
They're sitting around playing cards.
The show's called the catwalk. We're calling this thing the catwalk.
They're just getting like pissed off at each other playing cards.
I wanted to see Trip and Reed getting dressed up and having fun, showing off some fun clothes. And then people could craft clothes because they're bored. So they're like, let's craft some clothes. And then they could put on a skit. They could do some skits.
I'm Too Sexy came out in 1992, apparently.
Yeah, way before this show.
They could have done that in TNG.
Yes.
But they didn't have an episode called The Catwalk. And,
So they could have been playing this song.
They didn't need
one. They could play the I'm Too Sexy song, which is a song about being sexy on the catwalk.
I know what it's about.
Make it a priority.
Paramount could have totally licensed that song. Like
that might have been a good idea.
$30.
Right, said Fred.
It had like a whole thing. Like it had a whole scene. Anyway.
That can't be right.
Lost opportunity. Again, it's a fun episode, but in parts disappointing, and that's one of the things that's disappointing.
Isn't that the song that has like a, it's like a sample from a Jimi Hendrix song?
I don't know. Here's a Trip line that I'm going to play just because I like the part that I pulled out that doesn't work in any context, but it's a Trip delivery. So this is the full one.
One of them came out a few hours ago, told us we're making too much noise.
And the point, the substring I'm going to pull out is this part.
Making too much noise.
I think that's a good Trip delivery, but you can't use that anywhere. Where am I going to, I can't put that in the best of, because when am I going to,
on this show,
when am I going to say,
making too much noise?
When we're just doing our podcast.
Oh, when you guys like won't shut up or something, I'll be like,
making too much noise.
But he says it so quietly that no one will be able to hear it.
Well.
You could amp it up.
I could amp it up.
That's the trickery of it, so.
Yeah.
You can call up Connor Trenier and have him re-record it.
Yeah. These guys are driving me crazy.
That's a good one.
So Mayweather had to hide in a ship's core for 6 weeks. How does that even work?
Because he was like on a colony ship.
Yeah, but like, how do you hide in a core? How do you hide in a core? I guess I don't understand what they mean by core.
It might like literally
inside
just
the
mean ship.
Like inside the warp, middle. Inside the warp
like
core.
Like in the, inside the,
they don't mean
in,
that.
In the build.
You can't hide in warp core.
No. But you can, the core of the ship could also just be the middle.
It's and they like had the middle, to they had to convert storage lockers into shitters, which I want to know how that fucking works.
Oh, it's probably no.
But that's amazing. They probably just like
it's just a box.
They probably just like took
a box.
They probably
storage.
Just like they
suck it up.
They probably just I guess like took a pipe and undid a pipe on the side and jammed it on the pipe.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
fucking Malcolm was being such a dick about that whole thing because he was like, oh, I can't take a shower. You guys suck. And like Trip Tucker III was totally right. He's like, you're lucky you have a place to shit, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, like 4 hours is not that much time to do something like that. Four
yeah,
hours
no,
to get the whole ship ready and build a toilet. Just building a toilet on its own in four hours.
They're
like
lucky they
like
had,
making a toilet appear where it's not supposed to appear out of items that aren't supposed to be toilets.
They're lucky they got enough like food into there in the right time.
Yeah, and so they were being, and then, by the way, chef joke. There was a chef joke.
We saw Chef's legs.
Yeah, that Chef's legs.
But
it was not Riker.
So they were all. No, it wasn't. Those were not Riker legs.
No.
Those are not Riker legs.
Those legs weren't heaving themselves above a tall chair to sit down.
But he was complaining about not having a shower. Then he was complaining. He was like, oh, you suck at plumbing. And then when the chef brought the food, like Hoshi and Trip Tucker III were all like, thanks, chef. And he's all like, oh, my God. Pot roast again. Oh, I'm only living. I'm only not dead.
It's like, what? But, you're from England.
But then Hoshi got a little short-tempered about something after that. I can't remember what she said. She said something. He said, she said. Right, said Fred. I'm too sexy. There was one part that Hoshi got all. She goes. Who's? Oh yeah, she got mad about the movie. She's like, who's picking these movies? Shouldn't we get a vote? It's like, I know. I understand that it's close.
She
quarters.
Was just irritable.
I know. Well, they're all irritable, and that's the point. Is they're all cranky, but they need some perspective, man. About like, I can understand them getting pissed off.
Yeah.
About the
they could die in there.
I can understand them getting pissed off about the Tacrit coming in and telling them to be quiet. Although Trip started getting a little bit intolerant, that one part.
Well, they were cooking shit on the fucking plasma, whatever the fuck.
They like when he's like, I know we're supposed to be all tolerant of other species, and he's all like,
so they've kept us up the last two nights with their strange rituals.
Strange rituals? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
use some restraint, Trip. I mean strange rituals.
Been a little bit more delicate.
Yeah, and he's like, and they're chanting. But right, and what's that bullshit where Hoshi tries to fucking call some strawberry shortcake with some broccoli? They should not have allowed that shit. Fuck that.
Well, I mean, you know, broccoli's okay if you put some
some
sauce on it.
Never.
Not when you're calling with strawberry motherfucking
shortcake. Not when you're stuck inside
cake.
The catwalk of like a fucking warpness.
I mean, I get it. But what are you going to do?
Did you notice that Gurry dude
should have been only in Sundays.
Gurry was the guy who was not the famous dude. Renth was the famous guy that we've all seen before.
Yes, the fellow who's in all them movies.
Yeah, Gurry was the other guy. When they came out of the decontamination place, he was sniffing at something.
That's the gel that they normally are supposed to smear on themselves.
And he was like,
uh-huh.
He was sniffing it like it was stinky. I bet it smells good to humans. You'd think that'd be the kind of thing. Well,
I don't think so.
No, I bet it's the kind of thing they probably put like some kind of like scent in there to make it not so bad. And that scent is probably not.
You would hope so.
Well, and that scent is probably bad.
Lavender.
Like, they probably don't like lavender in that. In the Tacrit probably hate lavender or something.
Well, and also,
it was just meant.
They seem to enjoy putting it on every time they do put it on.
Yeah, exactly. I
They're
think.
All like, well, yeah, I think they put. Let me help you with that.
I think the reason they put the sniffing in there is kind of like just showing like, oh, this is a different culture. Yeah. Like what smells okay to us smells bad to them. Yeah. Zach Grenier. Not to be confused with Connor Trinneer. But he's been in all sorts of shit.
Yeah. Yes. He's a character actor who shows up all over the place.
Yeah, he was in Fight Club. He played his coworker guy. I'm trying to think of what he was famously in for. He was like a small role in a lot of things.
Totally.
But I can't think of any single movie he like superstarred in. He was Senator Hubert Dreyfus in RoboCop.
Yes. Word.
Yeah.
RoboCop.
He was Mr. Sherman in Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, Mr. Sherman. That's right.
He was in
did
that.
Not watch that.
He was in that show. He played Jim Black in Free the Nipple.
There you go. Free the Nipple.
He was in Devs. Devs wasn't a bad show. That was a decent show.
I did not watch that.
Yeah. You've seen that? Neither of you seen that?
No, never seen it.
Nope.
It's good.
Never heard of it.
Saw the preview?
He was in the show. Oh, he's in Ray Donovan. He was in Deadwood. I never saw Deadwood.
I watched Deadwood, but I still don't remember who that guy was in Deadwood.
Yeah. He's one of those kinds of guys. Yeah. He reminds me of that guy in Wayne's World who was like, who they were like talking about like when Garth was like, If Richard was an ice cream flavor, he'd be pralines and dick. And like that guy's he's like, no, he's my friend. You know, I think it was Richard. Was that guy's name? Is Richard or
Sounds
something?
Like it, yeah.
But yeah, that was that guy who looks like that guy. They both have that same thing where they're often like second parts.
Real quick, getting back to Malcolm. He has all those complaints, and it's sort of annoying. It's got to be aggravating. The characterization of this fellow is now like he's just complaining in a scenario that, yeah, it's a tough scenario, but and everyone's getting a little testy, but his just comes off as particularly annoying. Mm-hmm. And then to top it all off, he's a puker. So he's got that situation, which is a totally understandable thing. He wants to go get some medicine, but
because it's like some sort of training thing from like back in the day, like it made him a puker.
He's all embarrassed about it. And I don't know. It kind of sucks that he's embarrassed about it. I would have just liked a scene where he just like goes to Phlox and is like, oh yeah, can you hook me up? Cause he
seems like it would be simple to get like, just
he didn't
basic,
need to be embarrassed
basic,
about it.
Stomach medication.
Real quick, the character was Benjamin, who was played by Rob Lowe, not Richard. It was Benjamin. That was who's pralines and dick. And the guy saying that was was Kurt Fuller was the name of that actor. Okay. But it was Benjamin's pralines and dick. But back to what you were talking about you're talking about the sickness thing.
I'm talking about this episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to. I just wanted because I didn't want to get a mountain of emails telling me how wrong I was. A mountain of them. So here's the thing about that. So Reed goes,
this is another new Dan segment.
This is
here's the thing about that.
Grinds my gear.
We're gonna need to get a theme song.
There is something that grinds my gears about this scene because it starts with Malcolm Reed saying, "I assume I can depend on doctor-patient confidentiality, right?" And Phlox goes, "This wouldn't have anything to do with gastrointestinal distress."
Yeah, absolutely. I got annoyed by this too.
Yeah, and he goes
because I thought it was saying that he's a shitter.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially because he goes, especially because
not a puker.
Because Reed goes, is that obvious? And then Phlox goes, not at all. There's a notation in your medical file, something about an unfortunate incident during zero G training. So what did he do? Right. He should have shat himself in a
apparently he puked himself.
Yeah, but yeah,
which is not an Englishman. He had to fart in front of people.
Yeah,
puking yourself sucks, and it's much worse than.
But it's like, not. But that's not. I don't consider that gastrointestinal distress.
I don't think so either. Although maybe who knows? Maybe technically it is. Maybe we are in the wrong. You and I, Dan. But
I've never been to medical school.
But I colloquially, I would not consider that. If you say gastrointestinal, it's pooping. You got some poops.
Yeah,
you got some rumbly bellies. Because
intestine.
The only reason I can think he was embarrassed is because he's like it makes him seem like he doesn't have proper sea legs. Or something
by the time
like
it goes to your intestine, it's not coming out anywhere else.
I mean,
hope not.
It's going out your butt.
Look, I don't have a big problem with him being embarrassed, but it's I don't know.
I was confused too. No, I was a little confused too, but that's the only thing I could think.
It seemed like a lot of extra.
It just seemed like the kind of thing that people wouldn't really be embarrassed about, even in this. I know this is like pre-Federation and all that other stuff, but
now if he was shitting his pants, I could see him being
embarrassed. That's why it made sense until he said it was vomiting. And you know what? It could be that was a last minute change that
it might have been
that UPN or whatever
they got to know.
It's like you can't make Malcolm Reed a shitter. You can make him a complaining piece of shit, but he can't be an actual shitter.
Yeah.
Change it to vomit, because vomit's okay. We can talk about vomiting all the time. But we don't want to put the image of this fella just shitting his pants all over.
Especially because he's British.
Right, well, in particular. Exactly. Yeah. Well, of course, that goes without saying.
That's the thing.
So that goes without saying. So speaking of things being different, at the end, Archer says to Grimm, he says, "Where are you headed next?" And to Grimm goes, "To the Garanan system." Now, according to closed captioning, it was Garnnan.
Yeah.
According to memory, or according to Chakotaya, it was Gyrannan.
It's Chakotaya.net?
Yes. What do you think Memory Alpha did? Do you think Memory Alpha was Garnnan or Gyrannan? Was it Granan or Giranan?
I would bet that Memory Alpha did the latter.
Which was what?
Griannan.
The choices are Giranan or Granan. Not Griannan.
The one with the Y.
Griana.
The one with the Y.
One with the Y. What do you say, Jesse?
I don't even have an opinion.
You don't even have. Well, you gotta have an opinion.
There's another Pulp Fiction reference.
Yeah, I know.
You guys.
That's the best one. That's the one we always do.
Wait, what about that part in
because you are a character doesn't mean you have a character.
What movie is this from? That's the best part. What's that from?
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that.
That's
movie,
the best part.
How have you not seen Shawshank Redemption?
I've seen it like 5 million times.
I'm a character.
So here we go.
It's a good movie.
So what do you think after hearing it?
The Garanan system.
I can go either way.
So according to Memory Alpha, it is, you were right, Patrick, the Garanan system. So closed captioning in this instance was incorrect. They forgot the why, because it's
the Garanan system.
Did they get the who, the what, the where, and the what? The,
did they get the bleeps and the sweeps and the creeps?
You remember that starship?
Band Starship that used to be Jefferson Airplane and
then they
became Jefferson Starship.
No,
just Starship.
No, the Starship that T'Pol was talking about that got eaten up by the
way. I don't remember what it was called. It was called like
the Kapla.
That's close.
The Starship T'Plana.
T'Plana. That's funny. That sounds like it's like a Vulcan, the Vulcan version of vaudeville character name. T'Plana.
T'Plana.
Starship T'Plana.
T'Plana.
The Garanan system.
The Starship T'Plana.
The Vomitorium.
All hands
lost.
The Vomitorium.
I like how he says that. Yeah. It's pretty sinister.
Chama
Although Lord. In Latin, the Vomitorium
spatial
is
spatial turbulence.
It was just a big door.
It's just the exit.
Yeah. I went
the
to
Vomitorium.
I went to the Colosseum.
Did you see some ums? Did you call them and then see some ums?
I call and see them.
You called some ums and see some ums?
It's smaller than it looks.
Yeah.
Colonoscopy.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Talking about Vulcan rituals.
Man, so Mayweather like had a pretty significant role in this episode behind the scenes, once again. Like, he fucking piloted that ship. He had the toughest job of them all.
He should have changed his name to Definitely Weather.
Yeah. Yeah, no maybes about it, Weather.
It took a Dan a second, and then he was like, yeah, I liked it. He's like, yeah.
Definitively Weather.
I've been watching you.
But
and he was faking that. That was the funny part. He was pretending.
That was some pretend game he was playing. I just think that like
Mayweather's great.
Mayweather that. I can't imagine how stressful that fucking job was because he not only did he have to be in close quarters with everybody, but he had to pilot the damn ship. Yeah.
But in both cases, he had the training to do so because of his time on boomers, those cargo ships that had very slow warp and apparently shitty generators and electrical systems.
Speaking of shitty... shitty things. What about Archer's captain's chair? It was like a bucket with a net over it.
I mean, okay, but still,
what a hilariously awful captain's chair.
There's only like still like there's only 80 some people, and like it wasn't the greatest, but like I mean,
well, so we got when it got hot in there.
It's not like it's the you know like later Enterprises where there's like so many more people on the.
The other thing is that and well, correct me if I'm wrong because and Dan you might know this from your very close reading of tonight's episode. that sounded sarcastic. I meant to do it 100% sincerely.
These guys are driving me crazy
because they talked about how you've got these catwalks up in the nacelles that they're protected. Are they using both of them or just one? It's the way they filmed it. It seems like it's just the one, like they're all on like one side in like the right nacelle or whatever, but they got two. So if space
is bothering you,
space was really a premium and they are still packed in there pretty tight. Couldn't they put some people in the one nacelle and then some people in the other nacelle?
Aren't they in both?
That's the thing. I don't know if they're in both or not.
Apparently what I read, they built like extra, all this extra set to like, you know, have all this extra space for it to fit everybody in the nacelle.
Yeah, they definitely.
But it isn't really clear if they're in both nacelles.
Yeah, they do not convey the.
They talk about different compartments.
The geography.
Yeah.
How it's not like it's poorly filmed or anything, but they do not make clear the geography of what's going on in terms of whether they're in one or both nacelles.
You're in no position to do anything about it.
Listen, man. Both
nacelles would make more sense, but it would be interesting to have an added element of the separation between the two nacelles and them having to coordinate their planning together in some
fashion. Why didn't they just separate the saucer section? Yeah. Why didn't they just do that?
I don't think they could do that.
I don't think they could do that, Dan.
That wouldn't have helped anyway.
The saucer section was most of the ship.
It's all connected.
I know I've probably mentioned this before, but I was hearing that was actually super expensive for some reason to like when TNG, when they separated the saucer section, it was like really expensive special effects for some reason.
It also took up a lot of screen time because it was like 2 minutes.
I was at a Star Trek convention and Patrick Stewart was there and like, I think it was him saying, or someone.
Was he in the audience? He was just attending as a guest?
Well, your guess is as good as mine.
Like, it was all uncomfortable because when he was speaking, someone like rose their hand and be like, oh, we're so grateful you're here. I run a limousine service, and if you ever need service, blah, 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 you should call, give us a call. And everyone's like, ugh.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was him who said this. I heard that someone famous said that it was really expensive to special effect. And they were like, you know, you'd think they'd just take it apart, but it's actually a lot more work than that. So it was really expensive. But Patrick, I don't know. To answer your question about, if Picard was in the audience, no, he was not in the audience. He was speaking. But to answer your other question about why they didn't use the other catwalk, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
All right.
But
well, I'll convert it from a factual question to a rhetorical convention
with Nana Visitor.
Wait,
did you really?
Did you like share a cab or what are you talking about?
No, it was like
both of you were talking in riddles.
I wasn't talking riddles.
He was at one with Patrick Stewart.
What was riddling about that?
Like Patrick Stewart was like he like at the convention.
Oh, Patrick, Patrick, you were.
You're like no.
Now Patrick is bullshitting because when you said what is he in the audience, you were being totally feces when you were saying that. Facetious. You were being facetious. And now you're using your facetiousivity to accuse me of being obfuscating in my verbiage.
Why are you being so obtuse? Why are you being so obtuse?
I'm being obfuscating.
That's a Shawshank Redemption joke.
Yeah, I know. I'm being
It was when DS9 was like new.
I'm trying to say a word. I'm being obfuscatory.
Yes, obfuscatory.
Fusco.
A little bit.
Fusco. Paul Fusco.
You're being confusing.
Hey Willie. Got any cat? I haven't done that in a while.
No, dude, that's classic.
You know what I haven't done in a while either?
B'Elanna's on it. Okay. Chief O'Brien.
You've done those.
Not a while.
Holograms.
Pulling out all the stops here.
Sabotage.
I don't get it.
I'm not joking, Lee.
I'm not joking, Lee.
I'm gonna wind it up there with a where would I stay?
Where would I stay?
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
That's a new one I added to the best.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
And the new one from tonight is the these guys are driving me crazy. That's a good one, I think.
These guys are driving me crazy.
And this one that can't ever be used.
Making too much noise.
Making too much noise.
Why can't it be? He sounds like an impression of W. Bush when he says that.
He does.
Was in the Bush year.
There's a bunch of sort of miscellaneous stuff here.
Here's a miscellaneous thing.
We used to call these bits and bobs or oodles and oodles and noodles. We used to call it oodles and noodles.
Odds and ends.
Nooks and crannies.
Odds and ends.
We called it odds and ends.
So there's the captain character wasn't named. It's just the captain. But first of all, a real quick question: sub commander to Paul. What's the difference between a sub commander and a commander?
A sub-commander's below a commander, maybe?
That's what it sounds like.
It's like a lieutenant commander.
But for all intents and purposes, she was a commander because there was no one above
her. Well, she's the first officer.
There was no one above her other
than... She's an XO.
There were no one above her other than Archer, so wouldn't she just be the commander?
But there's the billet rank versus the...
Yeah, I mean, she's not technically the full commander.
Like, you can become a captain of a ship even if you're not a captain in rank.
Right, because Sisko was, you know... Sisko was top dog.
Still calling
answer me.
But he was a commander until he got promoted to captain. Because
fucking
right. That's a stupid point.
America's a racist country. Racist country. They're like,
does it have to be?
Black guy's got to be the commander.
It has to be racist.
The captain's first officer, he had a name. It was Palanti.
And he had a crazy crew cut.
He did. So the captain goes, get me helm control. And Palanti goes, it'll take me much longer than that. And he goes, we should evacuate. And then that's when the captain says,
no.
And then Palanti goes, you heard what he said. He's willing to destroy his own ship. Did you see in that scene? It's hard to remember just from the quote, but the captain throws him off screen. Yeah. If you watch that scene, captain just
very
takes
aggressive.
A dude and he throws him off screen. Like, you just see the dude's face and then you see his like face just like fly out of the scene, like all violently. I was like, whoa, he like fucked that guy up.
It was weird.
It was kind of comical in a way. Also,
it was
violently. It was comic. Would it be comically violent or violently comical?
It was both. And more so because he did a Pac-Man and he threw him off the side and then the guy shows up on the other side.
Oh, that's sneaky. Yeah.
Final Fantasy at the, you know.
Atari sound. All right. Other odds and ends. I liked Hoshi's space toothbrush.
Yeah, it was all the zappy brush. I like that too.
Although she was the only one doing it. It's kind of funny.
Well, she's
the only one fastidious enough to actually brush her teeth with a sonic toothbrush.
That's part of the smell after a while.
Yeah. On one part, Arch, I like that too. It was fun. I thought, I don't understand. Okay, so there's this scene.
Thanks, Captain.
When she was doing the crossword puzzle. I never understand in shows and movies when people are like, word for this, six across. Like, why are you doing a crossword puzzle if you're just going to get someone else to do it for you? Like,
I think she was flirting with him.
Yeah, I think she was just doing it to talk to the captain. Oh, but it reminded me a lot in shows. They're always like, six across. Why would you do that?
I do think I know why you do that. To be pretentious.
Yeah.
To make a point that you're doing a crossword.
Precisely. Or to flirt with the captain.
You're performatively announcing to the world that you are doing a crossword.
That's right.
When Archer, like, okay, he's finally like off duty and he watches like some water polo.
Duty or no duty.
Like, that's like...
evidence!
He's like, he can't just go, you know, like, you get off duty, you can't just go to sleep. Like, he has to unwind.
Right, that's what he was trying
like,
to do.
He's got to watch like that video of some water polo.
So he's got to watch some water polo.
Yeah.
The whole time he's watching water polo, he's all like, ooh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like, oh,
whoa.
Wait, wow. They didn't come out real well, but it's like this.
Yeah.
And the other one was like,
oh.
Can you believe that? But, you know, like, you can relate. Like, you can't you can't always just go to sleep.
No.
You have to read something. You have to watch something. You have to, like, puff on something.
On Saturdays, I used to work this overnight shift, just operating the soundboard on Saturday night to Sunday morning at an hour that nobody listened to the radio, and I would operate the soundboard just to make sure the shows ran.
Yeah.
Now that shit's all automated. But anyways, I'd get home at, like, Sunday morning at, like, 6:30 a.m., and I would stay up for another, like, 3 or 4 hours, like, watching
this. You
have
to like decompress.
Yeah, I was like, I would, back then I would just watch Simpsons episodes until I fell asleep, but it took me a couple hours to get to bed.
You have to like quiet your mind.
Quiet your mind. And one part Archer is saying to Tagrim, he's saying, you're assuming these three are telling the truth. They've already lied to us. And then Tagrim goes, we're not lying. These men are dangerous. I mean, I know it's obvious a thing to say, but I keep thinking about how useless it is to tell someone you're not lying if they already think you're capable of lying to them.
Yeah.
Right, it's just like,
well, I mean, and even if they don't have a reason to think that yet, it's still kind of like, you're just some dudes who showed up.
Yeah,
right.
We're not lying, I promise.
I know, it's tricky. But, another thing we learned that Denobula is densely populated.
Yeah, I know.
1 billion people sharing one continent.
Wait,
nonsense.
How many?
12 billion. 12 billion people sharing one continent. Close quarters, random compass. Reminds me of 1 billion people sharing one continent. Close quarters, random signals. 1 billion people sharing one continent.
How many?
12 billion people can't be wrong.
How big are these continents?
Nonsense. I have plenty of room. I find the close quarters rather comforting. Reminds me of 1 billion people sharing one continent.
And they're all like married to each other.
Yeah, they all have sex babies together.
Yeah,
super well,
sex babies.
I don't think that's the term they use. No. I did like when T'Pol
when
made
Porthos
it,
was
it,
cute.
Well, that was Porthos is always cute. But I liked when T'Pol made a joke about singing camping songs.
I played that earlier.
I've been camping.
Yeah, I know. I like that. I probably
perhaps didn't. We can sing a few songs later.
Yeah, she was. So Vulcans can
that's
joke
a, that's
too.
That's a hilarious joke. They're lying. She's lying left and right, and she's joking. All over the place.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention these two things. Number one, when Travis was steering the ship, he had some kind of PC-looking Thrustmaster joystick or something. Or actually, it looked like a cheap. It looked like a cheap, like,
what I used
Kmart
to play
joystick.
That X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Yeah, right. It was no Thrustmaster. That was like a cheap joystick with a red button. I mean,
oh, no.
I mean, I don't know what jet fighters use. Maybe that's what they use. But I just kept thinking about, like, yeah, I'm playing X-Wing. TIE Fighter, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. That's what it's called. The other thing. So at mark 11 minutes and 55 seconds, you see from the ceiling one of those fiber optic light toy thingies where it's like a million little fiber optic things where
it's like a disconnected wire.
And there's those things you'd get them at the circus.
Yes.
And when you shook them around, they would change colors.
Yeah.
Because at the tips, there would be bright things at the end. And there's like these fiber optic. And they're sharp.
Points of light.
Yeah, and they're sharp. You can like cut yourself if you're not careful.
Yeah,
that's what they use to represent like broken wires is they just went to the circus and bought some of those things.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Or the ice capades.
I remember
the
ice capades. Right.
Yeah, they don't really do the circus anymore. Probably a good thing.
One time on a theater rigging gig, I was helping,
but it's not all.
There's no animals.
I was helping put fiber optics through a velour to make one of those theater curtains that's used in a stage to do Starry Night.
I think I did the same thing.
And then it was like I'm doing this like all day, and then the boss guy comes by and is like, "Oh yeah, by the way, be careful because that fiberglass will just like it's thin enough to like go into your capillaries and cause problems.
Capillaries
or capillaries."
It'll fuck you up.
I had the same issue with that fire curtain, and I was not given gloves, and my hands were inflamed and swollen.
Yeah. Yes, it was a dangerous job that we were only informed of the danger halfway through doing the job.
Yeah.
Or three quarters of the way.
Yeah, but that's what you were saying real quick, Jesse, about the animals and the circus. Like they don't do circus with the animals anymore, and that's probably a good thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I like with
the
people.
Yeah, that was the deal.
And
the
when I was a little kid, I was like 8 years old. I didn't really occur to me. But
you can still do a lot with like acrobats and clowns.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool shit. You just don't need to like
those monster trucks
riding like motorbikes around.
Yeah,
and, like,
wrestlers,
circles and shit.
Yeah, it's just
big
don't...
pits full of
snakes,
robot snakes.
Wait, no, those are animals.
Robot snakes.
Yeah, it's just like it bums me out thinking about the circus now. Actually.
I know.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, also, what bummed me out was a clown poster they had that looked like some old school painted clown poster that was not meant to be creepy, but that made it more creepy.
Well. Maybe I can keep my children away from the circus.
Yeah. I think you can. But
how much longer?
We need to wrap things up. Yeah, we do need to wrap things up.
Looks like you're almost finished.
I think we probably discussed all the things we need to discuss about this episode.
Maintain your course. That's an order.
That's an order.
That's all I.
That's an order.
That's an order.
And that's a good one.
There's a close one.
There's another one.
Is that an order?
No.
This one is not.
Is that an order?
That's an order, but this one is.
Maintain your course. That's an order.
And I deem it, I'm neutral.
It was not the cliched. It's not the more cliched words. It was more like just emphasizing.
I don't like how she didn't pause it between at the period, but like that. So she was in a rush. It's fine. Yeah. At least she didn't try to talk too much, which sometimes happens in Star Trek.
It's the nature of command.
Like when Janeway tries to run away and she gives a whole speech, or Data's like slowly looking behind, saying, "Captain, I figured it out." While this big thing,
cause and effect, baby. Cause and effect.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So that's been.
It's been Star Trek
for this week. I hope you enjoyed that discussion as much as we enjoy discussing it.
You need help.
I do need a little help. Okay, next week, Dan's algorithm has picked for us a Voyager episode. The Voyager episode is Time and Again, which is early Voyager, early season one Voyager.
Do you have any idea what the odds are of that happening?
I don't know, but...
Very small.
I don't know.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know how odds work. We'll figure it out by next week. So, all right. So, Time and Again from Voyager's first season. Do that for homework, and we'll just talk about that next week. And if you'd like to send us any comments about this episode, any episode, next week's episode, send them to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. You can check out the website, www.itsgotstartrek.com. If you'd like to give us money for whatever reason, you can go to patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Let me know if you change your mind.
And of course, the social media is @itsgotstartrek, everywhere you want to go, Blue Sky, YouTube, all that jazz.
That's everyone.
Sign up, follow, like, and subscribe, do all that. That jazz, it'll get us
jazzed. Oh, yes.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
Takes out of orbit, Travis.
You gotta turn that thing off.
Did that guy shoot one of his own men?
It's hard to tell them apart in those ridiculous hands.
The dead man was secretly working for Sheriff Boggs.
How do you know that?
Isn't it obvious?